Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Oh boy, is that a slingshot?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Alright, we here. Slingshot season. Hey, run that. Grace hit me like boom, can't miss. God with me, whole squad gon' win. Never try to throw shade, I grin. Cause the light too bright where I've been. Yeah. In the spotlight, who's that? Stone in the sling and the true slack. Devil in the way we move that. Tryna aim for the head like a durag. We're stuck in the valley, that view bad. Now I'm up in the hills where the fruit at. God took all my L's, ran through that. Now the wind stack high like a new stack. Giants fall, we don't run. Whole team moving one. Aim set, kingdom come. Hands high, what's up, son? Giants fall, we don't run. Whole team moving one. Aim set, kingdom come. Hands high, what's up, son? Grace hit me like boom, can't miss. God with me, whole squad gon' win. Devil try to throw shade, I grin. Cause the light too bright where I've been. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, Slingshot Nation.
We don't play.
We don't break down. Yeah. Woo! Slingshot Nation. How's everybody doing here today? I'm glad you're here. I'm glad to be here. We are self-producing. Jack is on his way to Pennsylvania. So he left me. He quit. And he is now on his way back to Pennsylvania. That low life couldn't hack it here in Tennessee with the real ones. So he quit yesterday and he's driving back to Pennsylvania to pursue a life of losery. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That's my brother. I love him. Just teasing him. He is on his way back to Pennsylvania. So let's just keep him in your prayers, friends. Keep him in your prayers. I don't know how it is on the rest of the East Coast, but today, driving around, extremely foggy here in the Smokies. Guess how they got their name? Lots of fog, and hopefully Junior Youngblood, he drives safe. He's a safe driver, but he has terrible luck with his cars. So every time he goes on a road trip, I hold my breath. Let me just tell you this real quick. See, I told you this is a sweet spot, guys. I was in the pre-show here and I was telling people this is a sweet spot of the day where my brain is clicking on all cylinders and just ADHD like haven, you know. Jack bought a new car last year and right after, like a week after he bought the new car, he went to Pennsylvania. He drove it up there. And on his way back, he is driving down, I forget what highway it was, and I don't even think he totally understands and knows what happened, but something hit his car and destroyed the front bumper, cracked his windshield. Like it just, I'm like, bro, this car has like 20,000 miles on it and you can't drive it to Pennsylvania without destroying it. No, it wasn't a cracked windshield. The cracked windshield came later. That's what it was. It was just, and he's tire issues. I'm like, my man, I feel for you because something about driving and you, it does not mix. But he's driving back to Pennsylvania. So keep him in your prayers. I think he's gonna be at the Penn State football game this weekend and, hanging out with some old friends. He'll be back on Monday. Thankfully one of these days we'll get him live producing these, but I told him I like live producing these. Right now, if we can get the system working right, which it seems like it's working pretty good now that I did some things on the back end, I kind of like self-producing because I'm a little nervous that if I let him produce it, my brain won't be able to wander as much as it does now. So here we are, self-producing. Godspeed, Jack. Speaking of weekends, though, so this weekend, Jack's in Pennsylvania at the Penn State football game. Last weekend, I was in Dallas, and you might say, what in the world were you doing in Dallas? If you guys are avid listeners of the show, you listen to this week's show, you have heard what I was doing in Dallas. I was asked to be part of a new TV show that is being run and built and designed and edited, produced. That's the word I was looking for, produced. It is being produced by ODX.TV, which is a ministry that Pastor Troy Brewer runs. Everything about this ministry that he has is to push people into helping fund human trafficking. And he tells the story better than I do, but he was sitting in, I guess, a tree stand in Canada hunting bear, and he had this like this download of what to do. And that's when The Counter, that's the name of the TV show, The Counter, was born. And it was a long process of planning, but in that planning process, he had this bright idea, don't know why, but he called me and he's like, do you want to be on the show? And I was like, do I? Of course I do. Why would I not want to be on a show with gentlemen like Joseph Z, Troy Brewer, Alan DiDio, Darren Stott, and retired NFL football player Brian Schwartz. If you guys are from the 90s, from 95 to 2000, Brian Schwartz played for the Jackson Jaguars. I believe he's a linebacker. Quite the player, too, before his knees said, no more, son, you're going to go into the ministry. So his knees took him out. His knees took him out by the knees. And but it was a great panel. If you guys like the topics that we cover on this show with a redemptive angle, this is the show, The Counter. We talked about the things that the church typically doesn't talk about. Not that all churches deny it. I want to be clear. Not all churches deny these things. It's just there's not a culturally accepted stage for Sunday morning to talk about this stuff in most churches. And so we kind of tackled some difficult topics like portals, aliens, UFOs, Nephilim, a lot of stuff. And we filmed for 2 days, 10 hours a day. We did 10 episodes. I believe I'm on five of them. Me and Brian Schwartz rotated in and out depending on what the topic was. And it was a really, really good time, and the ability to really rap with guys that are men of God who I look at personally. I personally look at the guys I just rattled off as towers around me. They give me benchmarks to shoot to. I respect them immensely. I've spent a lot of time with a lot of these guys, and I've seen their hearts behind the scenes. Just really truly good guys, good men of God. So they really kind of build me up and allow me to flourish and step into what I feel God has designed me to be and do. And everybody needs people like that around them. If you don't have somebody around you that lifts you up, people that lift you up, that give you the room to grow and become what you're designed to be, we're all designed to be something great. Every single one of you, if you're watching this right now, if you're listening to me on the replay, I promise you, you have been designed to be great. Just step into that greatness. Find the calling. Listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Do you have the ears to hear it? Because once you hear the guidance of what God is telling you to do and you have the confidence and boldness to step into it, woo, you're talking about some powerful life that you'll be living. And that's what I'm trying to step into right now. I'm trying to step into a greater calling, adding to the calling. God, like I've said it a million times. You guys know the story. God has literally called me into podcasting. But it wasn't until Pastor Larry Ragland, my friend over at, I'm trying to think of his church name, Solid Rock in Birmingham, Alabama. He and I were having dinner and he called me out on only walking in half of my calling. And so once he challenged me, all gloves came off. It's like, I'll show you, Larry, talking truth to me. But yeah, guys, seriously, if you find yourself around a circle of people that aren't lifting you up, but pulling you down, you're with the wrong crew and you're going to hurt their feelings when you start isolating yourself from them. But if they're pulling you down, I'm not saying every person that isn't lifting you up is bad to be around. But if your crew is pulling you down and not lifting you up, get out. Get out, because you're the only one hearing this message. You're the only one hearing this message, and you're the only one in that crew that's thinking about a destiny of greatness that God has designed you to be. So just step away, find a new crew. And sometimes finding a new crew means isolating yourself from everybody and letting God and the Holy Spirit guide the right people to you. So anyways, ADHD, Haven, let's go. I was down there though in Dallas, and we were doing the counter filming. And this past weekend I was down in Dallas for the premiere. So there was probably about 250, 300 people who attended the live premiere at Open Door Church in Burleson, Texas, I believe the town is for Open Door Church, Pastor Troy's church. So 250, 300 people attend, and they got to see the very first episode in completion. And it was a wild time. And the whole push for this TV series is fighting human trafficking and putting a stop to it and raising funds to do so. Pastor Troy has saved over 11,000 women and children over the years. He's been doing this ministry, I think, for 30 years. It wasn't too long ago, not even 10 years ago, he was refinancing his house for like the seventh time just to find the funds to be able to save more people. Finding the people to save is not the hard part with this. The funding, the saved people is the hard part, because once you save the people, you got to actually raise the people, because the governments are not doing this. That's why Pastor Troy's ministry is doing this. Now, he partners with governments all over the world, but they don't fund a lot of this stuff. His ministry funds it, which allows them to go kick in the doors. And so once you get a child, you save a child from trafficking, that child does not go in, for Pastor Troy, it's not going into a system, it's going into a ministry system. He has established homes for these children to go to, and they're raised in a home by a family. And often the parents of that household were rescued themselves, and they're raising rescued kids. And so those kids that are coming in being raised in a loving home will always have that geographical home, that physical home to go back to as they get older. So when they get older, say they want to go to school, go to college. Personally, Tony doesn't recommend a whole lot of that stuff. That's kind of nonsense to me, but hey, that's another show. They get to go out and experience life, have careers, whatever they want to do with themselves, but they can always come back to home where their family is, because a lot of these kids do not have families once they're saved. They're starting over. So it's an awesome ministry. And I don't know if you guys noticed, I've had several shows the second half of this year talking about fighting human trafficking. It's become a very strong passion of mine. The 20-year-old that's still inside me wants to go to these places and kick in the doors, but the 40-year-old back and shoulder says, not happening, son. I've been challenged to start working out more, and for other reasons, but maybe a byproduct of working out and getting back into shape and not having the podcaster bod, could be, I could go kicking doors. Who knows? But it just really, like, drives me nuts. It makes me upset. It makes me angry when I think about it. When I hear the stories of these children, what they're pulled out of, it makes me cry. And this is a huge problem all over the world. This is something that is not isolated. It's not dwindling. It's accelerating. And there's not enough hands, feet, and funds to fight this. And so I'm trying to do the best I can, the best I know how. I believe that as the years progress, maybe 10 years from now, I will have a different role in fighting human trafficking than what I currently am sitting at. But at the end of the day, as long as human trafficking is a problem, good people should be fighting against it. And I don't know why governments aren't focused as much as they should be on it, at least from my perspective, from what I've been hearing. The very fact that there has to be, not complaining, because I do believe that this is what the church has been designed to be, to help people, not just spiritually, but physically. Like, we should be giving them food, give to the poor. But at the same time, I am not sure why it's taking the funds from a ministry to accomplish the work. And that to me tells me that a lot of governments are stretched far too thin and they're putting their money in baskets that is just ridiculous. Like, you know, trying to understand why there's I-3 Atlas zooming towards Earth and the whole thing. And people getting all worked up online about that. They're like, you know, oh, there's pictures that they said they got from it and they're blurry from Mars. I think NASA's lying. Newsflash. Newsflash, NASA's always lying, okay? Okay, so now that we got that out of the way, let me pull up my notes here and get focused in because we gotta lock in. I got an interview scheduled to be in an hour from now, so we got to lock in here. On the way to Texas, if you guys go on planes enough, you know, it can get boring. If you go up in the sky and you forgot to download podcasts or you forgot to download an audio podcast or a YouTube video, it can get severely boring. Oh, I forgot my book. Oh, shoot. You're going to be spending the next two hours or more looking out a window, if you're lucky, or staring at a seat in front of you or looking around at everybody else with AirPods in. It's terrible. So I downloaded in the nick of time because I almost forgot. I'm standing in line to get on the plane and we were probably about 15, 20 minutes from boarding, I'd say. And I realized, oh crap. So I downloaded just rapid fire on YouTube. I started downloading videos, just anything that popped out at me. And I wound up watching a video that, let me see if I can pull it up here. I'm not pulling it up on the screen because I don't want to get dinged. But I wound up pulling a video up that, can I get, okay, I can't. On the thumbnail, the video just had a big ship out on the open sea. And the way he designed the thumbnail, I was like, that looks interesting. And so I just hit download and I had no idea what the video was going to be about. And so I get on the plane. I totally forget about it. I see the interesting thumbnail and I'm like, oh, let me check this out. And it's all, and listen, this we're going somewhere. Okay. We're going somewhere. Just hang with me. The 350 of you here, hang with me. It's all about ships fishing on the open sea. But my gear started turning because he started talking about a system called the AIS system. And the AIS system, don't ask me to tell you what it stands for. I forget. Something system though. AI system, right? But basically every ship out on the open sea needs to have this device on their ship, the AI system. And it will ping where they're at. So it'll hit satellites and bounce back to hit other ships out on the open sea. Everybody can look at this. This is open source. You can go to a website and look at all the ships out on the sea. And so they're watching this and they notice that there are certain dead zones out on the open sea. So these dead zones, you find curious and you're like, what's this about? And they started analyzing it. And as they looked into it more and more, they started seeing that there was patterns of locations where there were just these dead zones that ships seemed to not be going in. Now, that has like Bermuda Triangle conspiracy level stuff written all over it for me, right? So like when I'm starting to hear this, I'm like, oh, why? You know, like, why are ships disappearing? Here's the thing. The AIS system can be turned off and turned on by the captain of the ship. And often, captains will turn off the AIS system so that they can't be tracked when they're entering into a territory that's known for piracy. And so when they do this, they have to turn off the system. They go dark and all of a sudden they'll sail for say 200 miles dark, off grid, don't know where they're at. And all of a sudden they ping back on the system and they're visible again. When they get back to shore, they're supposed to legally write up a report as to why they went dark so that everybody, there's a report written about it. So it's just documented. And, I'm sure most captains absolutely follow this rule without flaw. They don't do anything wrong. I'm saying that a little sarcastically. I'm sure there's captains out there that take it very serious, and I'm sure there's captains out there that are like, yeah, let's just flick it here so we can take a shortcut through this canal and cut about 2 hours out of our shipping cruise, right? I would do that. So why wouldn't somebody else do that? I paused there because I was like, did I just admit to me a future crime if I ever become a captain? That's where my ADHD brain goes. I was already becoming a captain of a ship, sailing the ocean, and everybody's suspecting me to turn it off because I set it on a live on a Friday morning sometime in 2025. Wow. So these guys, they turn it off for those reasons. But if you can turn it off manually, you can turn it off manually anytime you will. And so it got me thinking. I'm flying to Dallas to be part of this premiere of the TV show, The Counter. You can find it, actually, just so you guys know, Troy Brewer's YouTube channel, the very first episode's on there. First 30 minutes of every episode is on YouTube for free for everybody to consume. If you want to watch the full episode, it will be on odx.tv on the subscription service. Like I said, all funds go to fighting human trafficking through that service. So I'm going down to DC to be part of this. My mind is already in gear of human trafficking. And I'm watching this video of how out on the ocean, where, you know, we have more ocean than we have land on this planet, we have ships that have the ability to go dark. They're not supposed to without writing up a report. But if there's a nefarious reason to go dark, they're invisible out there. And I was like, whoa, this could be a problem, a real problem we're not even looking into. And so as I was watching the video, they started diving into China's involvement with this whole fishing industry globally. So China owns over 57,000 fishing ships, 57,000, which makes up 44% of the entire fishing fleet out on the oceans. That's owned by China. 44% of all fishing ships are owned by China. And what China does is they have these really large ships, very, very big ships that go out into the ocean, and then other smaller but big, large ships. I mean, these are large ships too, but they're just not as big as this gigantic, massive ship out there. All these smaller, large ships go out into the ocean and they're fishing for a lot of squid, calamari. You know, who doesn't like calamari? More than likely, the calamari you eat comes off of these vessels. So they go out and they're filling up the ships, and they come back to this mothership and they fill it up with their catch. They refuel and they go back out. When the giant mothership is filled up, that mothership is replaced by another mothership. And then that full ship goes to shore, offloads, while the other mothership that came and arrived can now take on what's being caught out there by the smaller, large ships. Does anybody notice a pattern here? Does anybody notice something that seems a little off? These little tiny ships that are out there, not tiny. These little large ships that are out there fishing have crews on board. They dump their fish onto the large ship and refuel and go back out. The people on these ships are not coming off. They're not coming off. And so, well, when do they come off? Well, it's they're in this video. They suggested that there's nefarious reasons, and they didn't dive into it real deep. I don't know exactly why they didn't dive into it. Maybe they're going to do it on a future video. I don't know. But they just kind of glossed over the fact that these people are not coming off the ships. These people are under operating and working under lies. Okay, so they're told, hey, you're going to go on this ship, you're going to fish for 2 weeks, 2 months, and then you're going to come back and you're going to have 2 weeks, 2 months off, whatever, right? So just like, oh, you're going out on sea, you're doing your job, you'll be back. The problem is they're not coming back. They're not coming back. There are people out on the ocean who are being kept on these fishing ships to fish. And it's slave labor. These people are being slaves. They're being trafficked out onto the ocean to be slaves, catch fish, dump them off, and go right back out. They never go back to shore. They're just out there. And what happens if these slaves on these fishing ships die? You dump them overboard and they're fish food. Like it's nothing. And it's like, well, what about the records? So why would you put people out there, never bring them back? Like, where are these people from? Like, why is the family not missing them? You know, these are logical questions to have. The same questions you have when it comes to the traditional idea of human trafficking, where people, you know, little girl goes missing, or, you know, I'll even talk about it a little bit later here, God willing. My next week's guest, Hope Burrell Green, she was actually a victim of human trafficking. She was owned by Jeffrey Epstein. And it's like, well, where were your parents? You know, like what happened to allow this to happen? Well, with China specifically speaking and what's going on the open shore, I'll tell you, don't forget about the Uyghur Muslims. So there is a small section, I've talked about this over the years because of giants, but there is a small section of China's border that borders Afghanistan. Most people don't think about China being anywhere near the Middle East, but in reality, Afghanistan and China share a border. And it's about a 30-mile stretch that I calculated back in 2017 when I first learned about all this stuff. So it's about a 30-mile stretch where there is a border shared. And so you have a lot of Muslims, believe it or not, in China. And let me just sidetrack because I'm gonna regret not saying this just for anybody who doesn't know. The reason why I was looking at that 30-mile stretch is because it's a natural reserve. It's a nature reserve that I was told houses giants. So that's why I know about this spot. But there are Uyghur Muslims who are enslaved in China. They're in encampments right now, being locked up. Nobody's doing anything about it. The world's not doing anything about it. We have an episode about it. I don't remember which one it was. It was probably episode 200 something. Like, we're talking like 600 episodes ago. You could probably find it somewhere on the website. But we did a whole deep dive on this with somebody who is an investigative journalist who actually has been exposing this. But they absolutely are enslaving Muslim people in China. They're not just enslaving them, they're putting them on tables and dissecting them. And sometimes the dissection of these people requires them to be alive to get what they're looking for out of the person's organs. Like, it is sick, sick stuff. And I suggest that China themselves specifically has an unlimited source of slaves that are being raised up within their borders that they can use for such things. Okay. I think that it would not be a stretch to say that there are Uyghur Muslims on these fishing vessels that are being sent out to go fishing under slave labor, and they're just being kept out there so China can keep the system booming. When a slave dies, throw them overboard, ship another one in. That's me speaking. That's my theory, my thoughts that I started having when I was watching this video. It's not in the description right now, but on the replay, I'll put it in the description. I'll put the video that I'm talking about in the description, and I'll also put episode 1 of The Counter featuring yours truly talking about portals in the description as well. So out on the open sea, we got a real problem, because not only is it so vast and so rare to see other things, it's not like you're driving, even in rural United States. Like, let's go to South Dakota, less than 1 million people statewide, out in the sticks of South Dakota. Sorry, I almost said Carolina. South Dakota, you're still going to see more cars on the roads there than you'll see out on the ocean with ships. So we're talking about such a vast space that has natural highways where these ships go. So if you're going to see ships, you're probably going to see them on this highway that's kind of established out in the ocean. All the ships take this route. It's the best designed route to get to where you want to get to. That leaves a lot of empty spaces for nefarious things to happen. And so I think that we have the issue where there's not as many ships per space out there. So there's more volume than there's ships compared to land. And just because it's out there doesn't mean that nefarious people aren't going to utilize. In fact, I think nefarious people will look at the oceans as a way to do their nefarious things, far more likely to do that than do it on land. I've been thinking about this, guys, all week. When we think about Jeffrey Epstein and his human trafficking network that he had, and you know, there's been a lot of stuff coming out about the Epstein files, Jeffrey Epstein himself. I'm personally convinced that, and this is just me speaking, I don't believe, and I think most people agree with me, I don't believe that Jeffrey Epstein was the head of the snake. I think he was probably even the tail that peeked out from underneath the door. It got chopped up and everybody said, there's no more snake. And the reality is the snake grew a new tail and it just keeps moving. So we talk about Epstein and we talk about his plane, Lolita Express, and all the people who have been on that plane. I would not be surprised if Jeffrey Epstein had involvement in human trafficking across the seas in the oceans. Anybody, and not Epstein alone, like I'm talking lots of human traffickers. The cartel is huge into human trafficking. And why would they not utilize the oceans to traffic their humans to their desired locations? That only makes sense to me. So, and that could be where deals get made. There could be in these dead zones, islands, or ships themselves where the nefarious actions take place. So we talk about Epstein Island. I haven't even thought about this. I wonder if Epstein Island is one of these dead zones. That's interesting. So, but an island could be a dead zone, or even a large, a very large, rich, what's the big boats that people buy? Yachts. Like a very large yacht, like a billionaire's yacht out in a dead zone where trafficking gets taken place. Like you just bring them to the dead zone, you turn off the AIS system, and you have your nefarious agenda at work and play. I don't think it's a stretch. I don't think it's a stretch at all. And so this got me thinking about the supernatural aspects of this. So as time goes on, and you're going to hear about this next Tuesday on the Tuesday show with Hope Burrell Green. Please set a reminder to tune into this. It is a very important conversation, and we just scratched the surface. What you hear next Tuesday is not the last time I'm going to be talking to her. Her and I are going to have many more conversations. She's going to come back to the studio, and we're going to go deeper and further in on some of the things she brought up, specifically the Epstein tie that she has, but other things as well that I'll get into here in a little bit. But when you talk to somebody like Hope, you're going to come to the understanding that there is a real supernatural aspect to human trafficking that gets overlooked. We often look at these things as natural, supernatural. This happens in the natural, not the supernatural. This happens in the supernatural, the other realms, not in the natural. And very rarely, sometimes, these entities, these beings will peek through and be, you know, their nefarious selves. I think that the doors, the portals, the doorways to the other realms and coming here is much more active than any of us can fathom. And I think that we as a human race has learned how to utilize these doorways. So we talk about CERN, we talk about Oak Ridge, China's building a maybe they even have it built by now, but they're building a particle accelerator that's larger than CERN. So you look at CERN, all the nefarious things. My friend Joseph Z did a great video on CERN yesterday. I think he called it CERN Update something, something, something in the title. Go to Joseph Z's YouTube channel. Very prophetic person. In fact, Joseph Z is one of the few people in this world that I can truly say I've seen his prophetic gift in action many times. It's wild how God uses him. Go to his channel, check out his CERN video he just came out with yesterday. He did a great breakdown of things that you often forget. Commercials of CERN that just show their esoteric dark nature and they're calling it art. The fact that Shiva is on the front lawn. The video that came out of what they say was a goofing around sacrifice on their front lawn in front of Sheba. There was a journalist that was in the building and filmed the whole thing. You hear him hyperventilating. He gets scared and they say, oh, it was just all fake. We were just kidding. At CERN, we're pretending to do a satanic sacrifice of a human being in front of Sheba. We're just kidding around. I'm sick and tired of these scientists at these accelerators like Oak Ridge and CERN coming out, showing us what they're doing, saying that they're opening up universes like they did at CERN or at Oak Ridge here in Tennessee in 2019. They said, we are looking for the mirror universe. And as soon as people call them out on the carpet for saying about the mirror universe, for saying that there's a video of a human sacrifice, they come out and say, we were just kidding. You're scientists, not comedians. You're not funny. And I'm tired of that being the excuse. I'm tired of it. 10 years ago, humanity was in a much more ignorant place. We're not as ignorant anymore, and we're not as stupid as we once were. Some of us are stupider. Sometimes I feel like that. But nevertheless, you can't keep using that excuse anymore. I'm tired of it. Everything they put out has dark means and dark agenda. The Goddard Tunnel, that's not CERN, but the Goddard Tunnel, the whole opening ceremony was demonic. It was 100% demonic. And people can say it's part of their culture and it has cultural means. Culture can have demonic roots. Okay? So I don't care if it's a part of an American culture to do certain things. If it's demonic, it's demonic. And it doesn't matter if it's part of your culture. Friday mornings, man. Maybe I should do lives on Friday mornings. Get a little hyped. Calm down, son. Calm down. It's not even 9:30 yet, East Coast. Welcome and good morning if you're tuning in. If you're tuning in California, it's not even 6:30 in the morning and I'm going nuts. Welcome to Slingshot Nation. But anyways, these particle accelerator locations, they have said such things. CERN has talked about looking to open up portals and accessing other realms. They've said this. Look at Joseph Z's video that he put out yesterday. He has the direct quote from the former director of CERN saying this much. This isn't a random scientist. This isn't the janitor. This is the director, the former director of CERN saying such things. Go look at the video. I'll put that in the description as well. So when they're saying this stuff, you can take it to the bank as far as I'm concerned. They're doing some dark science, alchemical science, to do things that are against nature. So Luciferians will mask as certain types of people to get what they want. And I think the people at CERN, the people at Oak Ridge, have a lot of Luciferian ties, a lot. And my friend Darren Stott, he actually did a really good breakdown in text just the other day on Luciferians. Stay focused. If we know that that's what they're doing, at least Tony knows, right? So Tony says he knows, right? You may not know. You may not believe. You may not be there yet. That's absolutely fine. But for as far as I'm concerned, how I feel, how I believe the situation to be, I know they're opening portals. So if they're opening portals, I think what they're doing is not just opening portals at CERN, at Oak Ridge. They're learning or have learned, and I would venture to say they have learned, to use technology to open up portals in geographical locations that are not at the particle accelerators. Okay? We have natural thin veil locations where you could call it a portal. The veil is naturally thin at physical geographical locations. I don't know if that's because of time. I don't know if that's because they are ancient doorways that God created, but I believe there are natural thin veil locations. Then I think and believe that there are man-made thin veil locations. And what I mean by that is geographical locations, whether it be a high place or something of that nature, where human beings over hundreds and thousands of years have gone to do ritualistic practices for their faiths and religions and to serve their gods, to do human sacrifices, all these dark sacrificial religions that were dedicated to Moloch all over the world. I believe that there are physical geographical locations where that throughout history, there have been rituals done at these places that thin the veil because of human activity. And they are thin veil locations. Then I believe there's a third category, which is when human beings create thin veil locations automatically through technology, and they open up a doorway to another realm, and things come in and humans go out. I think that's what CERN, Oak Ridge, these other particle accelerators, that's one of the things that I think they're doing. It is not all about portals, baby. At these locations, they are doing a lot of things, but a lot of the things they're doing is through technological advancements, alchemical advancements, and human desire to be like God, to storm heaven, to fight creator. That's how dark these people are running these organizations. Now, not all people that work at Oak Ridge are of the same nature, okay? Just like last week when I talked about 6-7, the number 6, the number 7, the number 67, saying 6-7 is not a ritual. It is not a curse. But you have to understand the nature and the man behind the song that created the 6-7 phenomenon to understand why you're talking about 6-7. In the same way, you have Oak Ridge, you have CERN. There are a lot of people that work there that have utmost good intentions, scientific advancement, they're janitors, they're valet guys for the rich elite people who are evil. Like, not everybody there is evil. Not everybody there is trying to open up a portal. But these are places that are doing that. And I think what they're doing is they're opening up portal locations, and they can open up portal locations at different places throughout the world. Dare I say, at will. Maybe they sit back. What's that guy's name? The Marvel guy, the wizard guy on Marvel. He does this. He circles it and makes his hand go in a circle, and then all of a sudden a portal opens up. Maybe they're there already. Maybe the highest elites at CERN and Oak Ridge can walk into a room and just circle with their finger, and all of a sudden a portal opens up. God help us all if that's true. But through their technology, I think they can put coordinates in and open up portals at certain locations, right? I don't think that's a stretch according to the Gospel of Tony. So if that's true, could they be opening up portals out at sea? Could there be the dark people? So like not all the darkness is on the same agenda. And some of the darkness crosses over on agendas when appropriate. And so not all the dark people operating at CERN, at Oak Ridge, and other particle accelerators, our lifelong mission is to human traffic. However, sometimes the dark human trafficking category and industry and supernatural industry crosses over with these dark people opening portals and doing scientific alchemical advancements. They merge at times. And I don't think it's a stretch that when you're talking about the blackmail that we discussed with the Epstein files, that everybody has dirt on them. You can't get into politics without having some kind of dirt on you. All that stuff. If Klaus running the CERN particle accelerator, this dark Klaus guy, is talking to, I'm trying to think of another American evil guy. Let's just say Jeffrey. Talking to Jeffrey, the human trafficker, and they both are like, hey, I want you to do this for me. Well, I want you to do this for me. Well, we both have dirt on each other, so let's just do it. It's not a stretch in my imagination that they would use their technology to help support and advance the human trafficking agenda, even though that's not their particular field of agenda. And so, when we talk about soft spots and natural veil spots, I think I'm not 100% convinced or sure of it, but I think the Bermuda Triangle is probably a natural thin veil location, But if it is a natural thin veil location, it allows the dark elite scientific-minded people to go and study it. So what if they learned how that all works and they utilize it for their own nefarious means? Now, I understand Bermuda Triangle. There's people that talk about magnetic shifts and how it's just a natural magnetic phenomenon that pulls planes down into the ocean, pulls ships down into the ocean. I understand there's a lot of scientific theory, but this is the confessionals, you know. and we lean towards the mysterious more than anything else. And what if it is that these people who have the funding, the know-how, and the dark hearts inside their chests are the ones studying the Bermuda Triangle, learning how it works, and opening up their own portals out at sea? And so Jeffrey, the trafficker, calls Klaus, the portal opener, and says, hey, listen, I need you to open up a portal or gateway or whatever they want to call it at this geographical location. Here is the coordinates, and I need you to do it in today at 1337 because I'll be passing through that exact location. Like, boom, push the button, do your ritual, sorcery, whatever, and open it up. Now, I know that sounds absolutely crazy, insane, and I get it. But I do look at these portals that man is technologically opening. As I said this past weekend at the premiere for The Counter, I look at these locations they're opening portals up at as almost like terroristic sleeper cells. Okay, so just as we have in America, and I'm sure in other countries as well, there are tons of sleeper cells, terroristic sleeper cells located all over the place. Some of them might be two people, some of them might be 15, some might be 50, I don't know. But it's a fact. In America, United States, there are sleeper cells of terrorists waiting for the word to go and unleash crazy violence. I look at the possibility of man being able to open up these portals and geographically placing them as sleeper cells. They're not always open, but I do believe there is a time coming when the great tribulation happens, when the end times is nuking out, right? That when the Bible talks about there's going to be beasts and fearful sights, that fearful sights is the word phobotron, Greek word phobotron, and it actually is translated to monstrous sights. So in the end, there's going to be monsters. Where are they going to come from? Well, I think that they're coming up out of the ground. I think that there's portal locations and doorways. Let's say gateways. Gateways, same thing, but let's for to register it in the brain. There's gateways that are in the ground, in earth, that they'll come out of. I think that there's a reason why we see so many UFOs going into the water, because the water is unexplored so much. Not just the surface, but my Lord, baby. Under the surface, drastically unexplored. I think there's gateways down there. And so maybe one of these days I'll talk to you about my theory about Loch Ness Monster, Loch Ness, and all that over there. So there's gateways under our feet. There's gateways above us. And I think that these gateways are sometimes natural, but sometimes they could be designed, like with CERN and all these places. And when that time comes and these monsters come through, I think those gateways open up and they come through. And I'm here for it, baby. Give me the Nephilim blaster. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, we're all going to die one day. I might as well die fighting a Nephilim. You know, like, is there any more satisfying death? I don't know. For me, not at all. Not at all. Welcome to Slingshot Nation Friday Morning Edition, friends. It gets weird. It gets weird. So, listen, that's my thoughts and my theories on this. But we're gonna take it even to another level, and then we're gonna wrap it up here because I have an interview I have to be at in 25 minutes, and so I have to get ready for that. Next Tuesday, I have my guest, Hope Burrell Green, coming on the show. And her and her husband came to the studio and I sat down with her. I didn't know her story. I didn't know much about her. They contacted me, shared a little bit in the email. And I was like, yeah, I want to talk to this person. And I didn't know the depths of what she's been through. And I still don't. Her and I talked for, I want to say 2 hours, something like that. And like, we didn't even scratch the surface, you know, like that's how it felt. So she's definitely coming back. So whatever you hear next week, trust me, it is not the end of the book. But she brought a thought to my mind through her own claims, astral trafficking. And I was like, what is that? Hope claims that she not only was a victim of human trafficking and owned by Jeffrey Epstein at one point, but she was astral trafficked. And she talks about how these elites will actually hold their meetings and strike deals and contracts in the astral where they can't be tracked and traced. And my mind was blown because I was like, well, we know astral travel is a real thing. Why would not the governmental elites, instead of doing everything on a email server in their closet, do things in the astral where there's far less traffic and those who are there are also nefarious for the most part, unless you accidentally travel to Tony Merkel's house like Hunter did. That's a story you guys haven't heard if you're not members, but I'll tell you real quick. This guy in Middle Tennessee, he astral projected by accident. He's a pastor at a church in Middle Tennessee to my house, accurately described my house number, everything. So sometimes people do it by accident. That was a weird story. But if we know that this is happening, why would they not do it on purpose to traffic people? We talked to Fringe several times on the show. She's due for an appearance. I got to get her scheduled to come back in or on. She refuses to come in studio because she doesn't like flying. I get it. But she talks about how in these other realms, I call it the second heaven. I could be wrong on that or whatever, but the way my brain's working, I'm landing that all this nefarious activity is happening in the second heaven. She says that she has experienced or seen, I can't remember the details of this part of her story, but the idea that these entities, Nephilim are there, fallen angels are there. They have technology. We know they have technology. The crafts coming through these gateways are very physical. They have technology that actually they're trying to suck the souls out of people. Now that's crazy until you read Ezekiel 13:18, where God is reprimanding a woman who is literally hunting and collecting human souls. And so not so crazy now as a Christian. And she makes these claims, Fringe does, on the episode with us. And you have to understand, and Troy Brewer said it so eloquently that I'm stealing it. I've always had a hard time verbally sharing with people how this transition works from that realm to this realm and what does that look like. And the word I was always missing was poof. Because in the Western culture, we look at the demonic realm, demons, entities as poofs. They're not physical, they're poofs. And so how can something that's a poof do the things that Tony's claiming? It's because they're not poofs. They're very physical. They're very, 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 very physical. If you want proof of that, just look at the scriptures, like the angels with Lot. They were very, very, very physical. And so if good angels can be very, 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 very physical, that we understand and recognize physical as, so can bad angels, so can be their offspring and all the entities that are there. Why is it that you can have a demonic encounter that feels like it's a poof, except for it leaves 3 scratches on your back? That's not a poof. That's physical. Why is it that Bigfoot leaves footprints that seem to poof disappear? Because at one point, the Bigfoot wasn't a poof. It was physical, but now it's a poof. These things are poofs and physical. We should name the show that, poofs. But let me make a note here real quick. Poofs. Just so I remember the word poofs. So it's not poof stuff happening there. It's physical stuff happening there. Hope is saying that she was trafficked there and recognizable people were receiving her there in the astral. So when it comes to the open oceans and the just the open playground of nefariousness that can happen out in the open oceans, where ships can go dark by turning their AIS system off, could there be ships out there? Not all ships. 99.9% of them are probably out there fishing with their slaves on it. Just the good old Uyghur Muslim slaves from China. But could a fraction of those ships be deep, dark, nefarious and doing deep, dark, nefarious things like human trafficking? Not just using their slaves to fish, but actually trafficking humans globally on their dark ships. They set off from shore with a ship that went dark immediately. Maybe it's not even registered. It doesn't even have an AI system on it. And it sails across the world, trafficking humans in complete silence and dark. And could some of those nefarious traffickers be in contact with other nefarious dark human beings on this world doing other nefarious dark things like alchemical science, opening portals, and use their contacts to project their trafficking from one location to another without actually having to physically travel it? I don't know. Just me thinking out loud on a Friday morning. Does that make sense? It makes sense to me. It makes sense to me. So just uncuff your brain just a little bit and allow your brain to wander. To wander in wonder. Let your brain wander in wonder. Take the little keys and pieces that you know to be true, that you feel in your gut is true. Maybe your neighbors are saying you're crazy, but in your gut, you feel like that's true. And if that's true, what could be next? And start projecting and lining things up. Like, okay, if that's true, and I know the world works like this now, and that's in the news, so I know that's, well, maybe not. So let's backtrack a little bit there. Okay, that part's true. Now, if these two things are true, what could happen? Okay? Welcome to the mind of Tony. This is exactly what I do all the time. All the time. And I call myself a dystopian futurist for a reason. That's exactly why. Because I sit around, I look at the world around me, I look at the things that I feel I know to be true, and I mirror that over the reality that I'm being force-fed and given, and I'm taking the two and projecting, where could this go? And that is what you would call a dystopian futurist, because if you're being honest with yourself, where this could go is only bad, baby. This is not a utopia. This is a dystopia. Give me a thumbs up in the chat if you're a dystopian futurist too. Isn't that great? I love you guys. I love you. I had fun today. I knew in my gut that I was going to go off, but I didn't want to verbalize it because usually when you acknowledge such things, that's when it's a dud. I don't even know if you guys like this or not. I have not looked at the comments one bit, but I really enjoyed talking to you today. Before we get out of here, I just want to show you some examples, some screenshots of the video I'll put in the description at some point today. If you're tuning into this hours later and you don't see the links, I promise you, I will get to it. But I have an interview to do in 15 minutes and then another one. And then I got to go out of the office, but I'll try to get it. I will get it done before I leave the office. Okay. Just some logistical clarifications. But I pulled some of these screenshots here. I should have shown them to you earlier, but I will show them to you now. So this is an example of a dead zone, okay? This is, as you can see here, pretty clearly, I would say, there is a whole circle that these ships are not going in. So these red, white dots are all ships. Now, I think this is time-lapse, so I don't think it's all ships at one time, but this is the traffic that these ships are traveling in, and then all of a sudden, they go dark. Why? Why do they go dark at these lines, these dark zones where it's just completely empty? Here's another view of it up close. Galapagos Islands. Maybe we should do a deep dive on the Galapagos Islands and why there seems to be a dead zone of AIS systems around it. Not saying it's nefarious. I'm just saying it's nefarious. What are the odds? What are the odds? Yeah, that's an example of the dark zones. And I want to show you this just because it's kind of wild to look at. All those lights out on the ocean are fishing vessels. And those lights, I believe, are fishing vessels that are collecting squid. I think the squid are the fishing vessels that use the bright lights. I don't know. That's what I heard in the video. Maybe they use bright lights because they fish at night for squid and they need the light. I don't know. But here's another image of it. I mean, if you didn't know that there were thousands of slaves on these ships, you'd say it's beautiful. But the reality is the people working those ships, most of them were told they were going to be back and they're not going back. They're going to stay out there. This is my thoughts on it. They're going to stay out there for the rest of their lives. They're going to be slaves to fish until they die, and they'll be dumped overboard, never to be seen again. And these are people who are probably Uyghur Muslims who are already enslaved, and there's no record of them existing anyways. 57,000 fishing vessels are on the ocean that are owned by China, and that makes up 44% of all fishing vessels globally. China. Fun times. Fun times. All right. Listen, guys, this was good. This was good. I think it was good. You guys can be the determining factor of that, I'd say. But I love you guys. I got to get rolling here. You guys are a blessing. You guys are a blessing. Even you haters, you're blessings. Okay. I can't believe I'm coming up on a decade of doing this. I started this in 2017. January 2026 will be 9 years for me. And some of you guys have been rolling with me for that entire time. Many of you have just tuned into me since I've been on YouTube for the last 2 years, but I've been doing this. And many people who've been doing this for rocking with me the entire time have seen the evolution of the show and the different turns it's taken. And I am absolutely blessed that you guys have been running with me this entire time. We've lost people for sure. You say Jesus one too many times and they jump ship like they're a slave on a fishing vessel owned by China. Many people have come alongside of me as we have built this platform together. It is not something that I do by myself. It literally is a relationship with you guys. I show up and do my part. You show up and do your part. And here we are together. I appreciate you guys being here. I love yous. I really do. And next week, I don't know what my schedule holds. I know I'm going to be out of town for a little bit, but I will try to go live. But don't hold me to it, because Thursday is Thanksgiving and Friday is Black Friday. Black Friday. Maybe I'll go live on Black Friday. In fact, now that I'm thinking about it, I think my manager told me I'm going live on Black Friday. I'll have to fact check that though. Okay. All right, guys. Love yous. And we'll talk soon, okay? We'll talk soon.
Oh, boy. Is that a slingshot?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Slingshot season. Hey. Let's run it. Grace hit me like, boom, can't miss. No. God with me, whole squad gon' win. Devil try to throw shade, I grin, cause the light too bright where I've been. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Walk in the spotlight, who's that? Stone in the sling and the truth slap. Devil in the way we move that. Tryna aim for the head like a do-rag. I'm stuck in the valley that view bad. Now I'm up in the hills with a fruit at. God took all my L's, ran through that. Now the wind stack high like a new stack. Every step with the light, that's a blueprint. Whole pack getting bright cause he doing it. King's kid, so the crown got a new fit. And the cross hit harder than a news clip. We ain't here just to buy this movement. Every giant in the way, he'll move it. If the world wanna hate, we cool with it. Cause the love hit strong and the truth spit. Grace hit me like, can't miss. God with me, whole squad gon' win. Devil try to throw shade, I grin. Cause the light too bright where I've been. Hey, hey, hey. I've been down in the
the dirt, now I'm cleaned up. Blood bought brand new, never dreamed up. They was throwing all the stones, trying to team up. Got 50 now, standing here, feeling beamed up. I remember them nights in the struggle, feeling way down deep by the trouble. But he showed up strong, broke the muzzle. Now the faith built big like a double. We ain't here for the fame of the flesh. We just point to the king, let him splash. Living water in the cup, no cap in the well, don't run dry, that's facts. Now we running on a path with a show step. Every loss is a setup for the best yet. Every giant in my face is a test bet. Got swing once, it's a head shake.
Grace hit me like boom, can't miss. God with me, whole squad gon' win. Devil try to throw shade, I grin. Cause the light too bright where I've been. Grace hit me like boom, can't miss. God with me, whole squad gon' win. Devil try to throw shade, I grin. Cause the light too bright where I've been. Grace hit me like boom, can't miss. God with me, whole squad gon' win. Devil try to throw shade, I grin. Cause the light too bright where I've been.
Hey, Slingshot Nation. We don't back up, we don't break down. Just line it up, pull back, let it go. Yeah, run it up. Run it up.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.